Thank you, Saint Anthony. Wonderful. Man. I reckon Anthony and Lynette are just absolute legends. They really are. And when I think of them, I think of the scripture, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Renew them in our day. Amen. They've seen some things. We've seen some things. Amen. Over the years, but Lord, repeat them again. In our time, make them known. And we want to see the move of God again and again and again. Amen. Not just once, not just a few times, but again today. We need the touch of God today, don't we? And you know, God is with us. It's an amazing truth that, and I just love that truth. I can be 30,000 feet in the air, but God is still with me. It's wonderful. And I can be in Cambridge and God's with me, and I can even be in Levin and God's with me. We got married in Levin. Karen and I got married in Levin 38 years ago in March, and now we've got 5 grandchildren, another one on the way, and 3 married sons. And so it's just been a bit of a blast. Really? Thursday, I take off to Europe again. This is the second time already this year to go to Europe. Planting churches that plant churches that plant churches. And I had a lady, and we were in Manchester. I was in Manchester in February, and it was a lady, a doctor, young mum, busy. She said, oh, I'm so passionate. I just want to plant churches. I want to do something. I want to plant churches. And we were talking about, we actually weren't talking too much about that, but she had a heart to plant churches. The church there is wanting to plant churches. I just want to plant churches. I says, you're a doctor. You have so much influence just in your field of work. Don't be silly and plant a church, kind of. Anyway, silly me saying that, I suppose. But I was just saying, But I said, you could plant a church tomorrow. She said, how do I do that? She said, I said, just open an account, and you've got disposable income. I said, put some of that disposable income into an account for church planting. And there's your sweat, your labor, your energy. And you're doing something right now and sowing a seed for church planting. Pretty good idea, I thought myself. And she took up that idea. And it's a way that we can get involved. Amen? Because money is not just money. Money represents our time, our energy, and our labor. It represents a lot. So, you know, I really encourage you, if you want to plant churches and you want to do something in Europe, feel free to partner with us. It's starting to happen like over there. We've got about 5 churches now. 2 of them are fairly new. There's another 1 or 2 on the way, and by the middle of next year, we should have another 1 or 2 there at least. And we want to see multiplication, so it's just the beginning. And we're starting a training center at the end of next year that's starting to come online. We've got people, we've got the place, we've got the people, so it's starting to happen. Amen. Factory churning out these church planters for, particularly for South Holland, for Belgium, and for France. Before I leave this planet, I want to see one church planting training center in each Western nation of Europe. Western Europe is one of the biggest mission fields of the 21st century. And that's what we're involved in. Amen? So it's just great to be here and talking a little bit about, talking a lot about multiplication and talking a lot about how that works. I'm just getting my times right in here. And I just thought I'd hit on that theme a little bit. If you could turn to 1 Kings. So it's great to be here with you. Levin's very close to our heart. Myra was in our youth group. And not only that, helping lead the youth group. She was on the leadership team. Yes, you were. No, I'm sure you were somewhere along the line. I'm sure you were. And you just can't remember, you see. It's what happens when you get older. And so so we lived in Lindley Place. Does anybody know where Lindley Place is? We lived in Bath Street by the it's the house is not there now. It's gone. But we live right beside there. We lived in Churchill Street. That was the very first house we ever lived in Churchill Street. That house is not there either. Things have changed, my goodness. And so there we are, had our first. Our little boy was born here, Daniel, and he's now of an age where he runs his own company and doing a great job there in Hamilton. So just as you turn to 1 Kings chapter, what did I say? chapter 17. Sorry, 1 Kings chapter 17. Let me tell you a story about a person who, it is a true story, Niagara Falls. Has anybody been to the Niagara Falls? Just an amazing place. You've been there? It's great. I was able to be there a number of years ago. And the turn of the century, not this last century, the century before, just around that time, there was a person who was a well-known tightrope walker at the time. He placed a cable across the, I don't know if anybody's heard this story, but he placed a cable across the Niagara Falls, and he walked on that tightrope cable across the thing, and then he took a wheelbarrow, and he walked across with a wheelbarrow across the tight, you know, across the cable, across the Niagara Falls to the other side, and then back again. And there was crowds on both sides. One's Canada, one's USA, and the crowds on both sides. And then he said, "Who believes I can walk across with a person in the wheelbarrow?" And everybody said, "And you're the crowd, you see. I'm the tightrope walker, and I'm asking you right now, who believes that I can walk across with a person in the wheelbarrow?" And all the crowd goes, yeah, come on, everybody. Oh, yeah. I don't know if that's very loud, but from the back row to the front, who believes I can walk across this tightrope with a wheelbarrow? Yeah, okay. And all the people cry, and they did that exactly. Now, who's willing to hop in the wheelbarrow and walk across with me? Well, that, you know, you're a special crowd, because half of you would say, yeah, you're crazy. But there was silence. And then a little boy comes from the back and he says, I'll go in the wheelbarrow with you. And so everybody's going, whoa. So all the crowd's going, whoa. And so he hops in the wheelbarrow, he walks across, the crowd's silent. Oh my goodness, Niagara Falls, pretty scary place actually when you're walking across it on a cable, you know. And so he walks over and he got there and all the crowd's going, yeah, Canada, and then comes back to the USA side, and he walks across and gets there. Everybody believed, but one person had faith. By the way, it turns out that that boy was his son. We have a father, don't we? We have a father who's a wonderful God. And he believes in us. In fact, he believes in you more than you'll ever believe in him. He has faith in you. You have faith in God. Anybody have faith in God here? Amen. Well, let me tell you some really good news. God has more faith in you than you will ever have of him. He chose you, didn't he? He chose you. God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, chose you. He put his hand on you. He did something inside of me that enabled me to say yes to him. And the last time I was here, and so it was just great to see them, and we stayed with them. Karen stayed with them when she first came, because she's Australian. So I brought her to the promised land. It's wonderful. And so she stayed there for the first number of months that she was in living. And then I came along. Yeah, so good to see you, Kevin. And so God believes in you. God believes in us. Amen. And so people say, "Well, I don't have enough faith." Yes, you do. You have enough faith to take the whatever step you need to take. You have enough faith for that. Now, one of the things that I love, I love quotes. Dr. Cho, Yongyi Cho, he says, "Faith and doubt will always exist together. Faith is believing, and faith is choosing." Believing is choosing faith over doubt. Believing is choosing faith over doubt. We have doubt. We have fears. We have difficulties. We have struggles. It just says don't fear. Paul had fear. You want to read Acts. He had fears. An angel came to him, actually, and the first thing the angel said was, don't fear. He must have had fear. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's not a novice. He's on his third church planting journey. Yeah? So he just said, don't fear. My goodness. I love what Corrie Ten Boom says. She's a Dutch lady. And she came to New Zealand, actually, I think at least once, maybe twice. Faith is believing in the character of God when life demands the opposite. And sometimes life demands the opposite, doesn't it? We find that life demands the opposite. The older you get, life demands the opposite sometimes. And faith is believing in the character of God. God is good, that He will provide, that He is a wonderful God, that He is trustworthy, that He is faithful. No matter even if we're not faithful, God is faithful. It's a wonderful thing to know our God. Amen. So you have faith. So we're going to talk a little bit about faith. Faith, without faith, it is what? It is impossible to please the one you love and you want to serve. Faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So here's some thoughts on faith. First Kings chapter 17, and we'll pick it up at verse 8. This is two widows. We're going to talk about two families and two prophets. And here's Elijah, fed by ravens. And then in verse 8, the Lord, there's a famine in the land, and the Lord said to Elijah in verse 8, verse 9, now go and live in the village of Zarephath near the city of Sidon. I have instructed a widow to feed you there. So he went to Zarephath. As he arrived in the gates of the village, he saw a widow gathering sticks. Asked her, would you please bring me a little water in a cup? And she was going to get it. He called to her, bring me a bite of bread too. But she said, I swear by the Lord your God, I don't have a single piece of bread in the house. I have only one handful of flour left in the jar and a little cooking oil in the bottom of the jug. I was just gathering a few sticks to cook this last meal, and then my son and I will die. What a wonderful, positive story that is. I was Elijah, I think, oh, whoops, wrong woman. She was in a desperate situation, you could say. But Elijah said to her, don't be afraid, go ahead, do as you said, and just make a little bread for me first, then use what's left to prepare a meal for yourself and your son. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, there will always be flour and olive oil left. So he prophesies. Listen, can I just pause here for a moment? It's got nothing to do with this message, but all I just want to say is, don't wait for a prophecy. You prophesy. Where there's lack, you prophesy to that lack. You prophesy to that need. You need healing. Begin to speak it into place in the name of Jesus. And don't wait for somebody to pray for your healing. Just as you're in this environment, just allow God to heal. Let His healing power come to you in Jesus' name. Amen. If He's here, He will heal in Jesus' name. Amen. By the way, if I forget, I'm happy to pray for folks after when I finish today at about 3 o'clock. Feel free to just we'll pray for you for healing. So here he is, and he prophesies, and he says, there's always going to be flour and olive oil left in the containers until the time the Lord sends rain, the crops grow again. So she did as Elijah said, and she and Elijah and her son continued to eat for many days. Everybody say many days. Yeah. There was always, everybody say always. There was always enough flour and olive oil left in the containers, just as the Lord had promised through Elijah. There will always be enough for you, not only for you and your son or your family, but beyond, as the prophet lived with them and he had meals with them as well. They were all friends. Live with overflow. Amen. You can live with overflow. That's your psalm. Psalm 23. The Lord is what? Is my shepherd. I shall not be on want. He makes me lie down in green pastures, and my cup, what? My cup overflows. That's a promise to you, your cup overflows. Let's pick up another story, another family, another prophet, and another widow. We don't know their names even. They're impacted by God and they impact us today. Second Kings, just a few pages over. Second Kings, chapter 4 and verse 1. One day the widow, 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 1. One day the widow of a member of the group of prophets, in our day he would have been in ministry, right? But he died, and this family was a widow and had two boys, and she came to Elisha and cried out, "My husband who served you is dead, and you know how he feared the Lord, but now a creditor has come threatening to take my two sons as slaves." There's a desperate situation again. You don't do that without a fight from a mum. I know. We had three boys. Anybody touches those boys, there's a problem. I just don't want to stand in the way of that. It's like, my goodness. But now the creditors come taking my two sons as slaves. "What can I do to help you?" Elisha said. "Tell me, what do you have in the house?" She says. What does she first say? What's the first word? Nothing. Often we think that too. Often we think we don't have anything. Yes, you do. You have God. You carry hope. You're hope carriers. You carry love. You carry faith. Yes, you do. And then she thinks a little bit. She says, "Oh, except a flask of olive oil." And Elisha said, "Borrow as many empty jars as you can from friends and neighbors. Go into the house of the sons. Shut the door behind you. Pour olive oil into the flask. Then into the jars, setting each one aside when it's filled." So she did as she was told, and her sons kept bringing jars to her. And she filled one after the other. And soon every container was full to the brim. And she said, "Bring me another jar," she said to one of her sons. And her son said, "There aren't any more." 124 points before 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to talk about. No, it's just a joke. Okay, no. Three things. There's three thoughts on this whole faith thing, this whole belief thing. Number one is, or three questions. Let me ask you three questions. How is your situation? How is your situation? You might be in a good situation. That's great. Maybe you're in a situation just like these people, not quite exactly the same, but you're in a desperate situation. You know, faith works in desperate situations. Faith works here. Faith works in these desperate situations. God came through. If I was one of the widows, I wish he'd come through a little bit earlier, but God came through. Amen? And so, faith works. If you're in a desperate situation, faith works in these situations. It's like God kind of just allows that, because in these situations I find God enables me, my trust goes a little deeper. Anybody else ever discovered that? Yeah. And he's like, do you really trust me? Like, you know, 40 years ago, hey man, yeah. You know, 30 years later, you really trust me? Yeah. But, because life has some interesting twists and turns, right? Anybody ever discovered that? Life has some real questions. My goodness, has some real disappointments that can allow you go through the path towards discouragement. Don't go through that path. Don't go through that gate. Discouragement, I've discovered, is a choice. But we will get disappointed. Who's ever had a question that hasn't been answered by God? We had questions. I think the older we get, we probably have more questions. Are you still going to trust me, Nick? Yeah, okay. Our first grandson, multiple situations, multiple problems, multiple difficulties in one body. Still, there's a huge journey. Yet my son goes around this country. He's in Australia at the moment, today, with his wife and three kids, preaching, and people will be healed. And yet he lives with this boy. If that's one thing, well, I don't know if any of you are parents or grandparents. Your kids are always your kids. You're one removed. Now, we don't know what the doctors are saying because they've talked to them, for example. You know, so there's this this whole thing goes on, and other disappointments, many disappointments. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with those? Well, let's go to the place where our trust begins to deepen. I just love this quote here. I'll put it somewhere. I love that song. I put it in here somewhere. Oceans. You know that song, Oceans? It's an amazing song. And it has some words in it that we sing. And I don't know sometimes if we really realize what we sing. It says, Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Take me deeper than my feet could ever wander. Do we know what we are singing? When we sing that, I go, oh, hang on, no, just back up there. I didn't want to sing that right there. Spirit, lead me where my trust is without borders. Take me deeper where my feet could ever wander. I mean, that's what we're asking God, really, isn't it? And we know he's there. In the good times, we know he's there. We know But friends, these ladies were in a desperate situation. Do you know the God who makes a way where there is no way? Because God will bring you through those times. He will. And he'll bring you to those times, but he also is the God who doesn't just bring you to those times. He's a God who brings you through those times. And we're better for it, aren't we? You know, like the valleys, they teach us a lot. The mountaintops are wonderful, but the valleys, my goodness, they teach us a lot. Anybody ever discovered that? So if you're in a desperate situation, I just want to say be encouraged. So Father, we just commit this to you. Those who are in a desperate situation, you know who they are. And Lord, maybe some of it's confessed, some of it's known, but maybe some of it's hidden. So we ask you in the name of Jesus that you would meet people just where they're at right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, let faith arise in their hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. Now that was a good point, I thought myself. But this is the point that I really want to hit. This is the question that I want us to really grapple with for a moment. The second thing is, how much does God really want to supply? To this church, to you and I, how much does he want to supply? Let me just illustrate it this way. So you imagine, here's the prophet Elisha saying, go get the jars, and the lady says to her sons, I tell you what, boys, we don't want to embarrass ourselves or just, you know, we're going to die anyway. We've got nothing here, and How about you just get a few jars from around the house, because everything was in pots at that time. And so just go to some of our close friends, Fred down the road, and and Kevin over there and Janet and Myra over there. They sort of know us. They know we're a little funny anyway. And so how about we just get those people to just give us some jars and don't say anything, bring them into the house. And they ended up with about 13 jars. Tell me, when would the oil have stopped flowing? After the coming. So there were 13 jars after the 13th jar. Is that's what you're saying, isn't it? Clever. And the pastor's not even here and you can answer these questions. It's amazing. Wonderful. Amen. So then she says, well, look, I've got faith. Let's get some jars. Let's go to the street. Let's go right through the streets. Let's go all over the place. Get as many jars as we can. They end up with 123 jars. 123 jars. When would the oil have stopped flowing? After the 123rd, when the jars stopped coming. Doesn't say how many jars, but it does say when the jars stop coming, that's when the oil stopped flowing. Now, imagine if she said, man, we got faith, you know, like my husband worked for the company of the prophets, and we've been like, my goodness, this is our opportunity, boys, to see God and to move, see the glory of God. How about we have a jar convention? We're going to have a jar convention called Contagious. And we're gonna have it in Levin, and we're gonna get everybody on board. We're gonna get Tony and Lynette and fill their house up with jars, and their property up with jars, and their garages filled up with jars, and this place filled up with jars. Gonna have a jar convention all over. We're gonna get all these jars, and they ended up with 20,003 jars. Wow. When would the oil have stopped flowing? After the 2003rd jar, when the jars stopped coming. She said, bring me another jar, she said to one of her sons. There aren't any more. And then the olive oil stopped flowing. Listen, it's easy to get jars. So the question was this. How much does God supply? Oh, man, you pinched my thunder. As much as you allow him to. How much does God want to supply this church? As much as you and I allow him to. How much does God want to supply you? As much as you and I allow him to. Doesn't seem that spiritual, really, does it? But God believes in us. And God has faith in you. And God has chosen you. You have not chosen God. I don't care what family you've come from. If you've grown up in a Christian home, God chose you and put something inside of you to allow yourself to say yes to him. I know lots of Christian families and the kids didn't choose God, or God didn't choose. It didn't seem as though this whole thing, they're not walking with God. I don't want to get into a whole theological discussion about that right now, but I can see Myra going, oh yeah, no, don't do that. No. So I'm just saying, God believes in you. He has faith in you. Yes, our response is our response. And how much does God supply? As much as you allow him to. God seems to want to multiply resources, not simply add. And it goes right through the Bible from Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. He said, he blessed them and he said, "What, be fruitful and multiply." fish, birds, animals multiply. It's just part of their DNA. Humans multiply. God wants us to be in a multiplication mindset. I mean, it's just a matter of getting jars. It's simple. And here's a desperation. Here's a desperate situation that leads to miracles. How desperate are you to see what God has given you multiply? You have a look at Abraham. You have a look at Nehemiah with the workers building the walls. What about Moses? What about Jethro told Moses, you know, there was just so much work to do. And he said, get leaders of 1,000, 150, 10. And the disciples and Paul, and they saw their world turn. In fact, the Bible tells them these Christians have turned the world upside down. And they had less resources than are in this room when he gave the Great Commission. Yeah, I know. I honor you because I know you're sitting here. Like me, you're sitting here with huge questions, huge disappointments, and yet you're still here praising and worshiping God and lifting your hands. Listen to me. That's faith. That is faith. Good on you. So don't be discouraged. Please be encouraged. My goodness. Multiplication is in your DNA. The Christiansen, he was the one that started LEGO. I don't know if you've ever heard of LEGO, you know, in Denmark. And I went through the LEGO place, and there's a museum there, and it said in the LEGO, in the Danish toy and trade magazine, and it was talking at a time about 1924, 1925, when Christensen was developing this little plastic brick, and it was plastic, I mean, for goodness sake. And the Danish Toy and Trade magazine said, this plastic toy will never outdo, this plastic toy will never outdo the wooden made toys. So Christensen, he had, I think, 5 sons who took over the business and were working in the business. And the story is that he lifted this little, one day he said, he took this little plastic brick in his fingers and he said, this little plastic brick is going to be known all over the world. Yeah. And it is. It is. Henry Ford, I don't know if you know, if I've never met the man myself, but Henry Ford said, think you can, think you can't. Either way's right. Think you can, think you can't. Either way's right. So how much does God want to supply you? As much as you and I allow him to. God changed Abraham's name to get it through to his being and to have get it through to his head, Abraham, which means, by the way, father of a nation. He changed it to Abraham, which means father of the nations. So every time somebody said Abraham, they were saying father of the nations. It was just reminding them. He said, I want you when you go out at 2 or 3 in the morning, you know, we have to do that as we get into our 80s or 90s. Not that I would know that. But 2 or 3 in the morning, we have to go outside for something. And he's looking up and he, oh my goodness, the stars. That's how many descendants I'm going, that's what God told me, how many descendants I'm going to have. And then during the daytime, where is he living? He's living in a desert. And he said, as many as the sand. In fact, in the Hebrews, it talks about sand on the seashore. And it's sort of like, well, what is... As he put his hand in that sand, let it go through his fingers. That's how many descendants you are going to have. Multiplication once again. And you look right through the New Testament. My life scripture is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20 to 21. God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think or imagine. Beyond all we ask or think or imagine. I know what I'm asking. I know what I'm thinking. I know what I'm imagining. And God wants to go beyond that. That's what He said, not what I said. I'm sort of like, whoa, how does that all work? I don't understand all this. How does that go? But God said it. So what am I going to do? Go to my experience or go to the Word of God? I've determined to live in the Word of God. God is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all we ask or think or imagine. Oh my goodness, Europe's looking pretty good in my head. It's looking pretty good in my imagination. It's looking pretty good in my asking. I'm believing for hundreds of churches to be planted. I might not see them, but I'm laying the foundation for them now. Oh, I'm seeing church planting factories, church planting training centers in every Western nation, at least sometimes two. France could do with two, one in the north, one in the south. Germany could do with a few as well. Amen? And I see that, and God tells me that He's able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all I ask, think, or imagine, according to the power that works within me. To Him be glory in the church, amen, and to all generations forever and ever, amen. Does that mean multiplication? Yes, it does. I can either believe that or not believe that. I can bank that check, if you like, bank that promise, or I can just leave it in my back pocket and not use it at all. I think a lot of Christians walk around with their unbanked checks in their pocket, thousands and thousands of dollars, and have taken hold of the promises of God. Well, that's just too difficult. And I understand that. I'm not saying that's not understanding. I'm just saying is I understand that. But that's where trust comes in, I suppose. That's where, like, I don't know what to do. And God's probably saying, good on you. It's about jolly time. And I find myself on my knees because there's nothing else I can do. And that's where He wants us to. Amen. The third thing, who does God use? So the first one was what? Yeah, how desperate is your situation? How's your situation? Second one is? How much does God supply? As much as you allow Him to. We know He can supply everything. Oh, I understand that. And that's what people say. Well, He can supply everything, but how much does God want to supply? As much as you allow Him to. It's a challenge, isn't it? It's a real challenge. It's a challenge to me. Why on earth does He want to use a person from New Zealand? A little city called Hamilton. We've just moved to Cambridge. Plant churches in Western Europe. What the heaven are you doing, Jesus? Do you know what you're doing? Do you know what this is? You know what? Like, this is my life now. Number three, the third one is, who does God use? Well, I mean, He uses machinery. We know that. He uses technology and computers. It's amazing, the technology now that we have at our fingertips, yeah? That's wonderful, but who does God use? I tell you who God uses. He uses people like you and me. He uses people. Don't be sucked in. He just uses the technology and the machinery and the computers and the whatever. He uses people. And throughout Scripture, God uses people. You know who He uses? He uses ordinary people. He uses people who mess up. Not that we've messed up, of course. Ever. But throughout Scripture, ordinary people like Samson and David and Abraham, my goodness, did you hear what happened to Abraham? He gave his wife away to another guy. Not once, but twice. Silly man. Yet we're heirs of Abraham. He's the father of faith. You know, there's that DNA of multiplication. That's where we get that from. You live with multiplication. Whether you're going to use it or not is up to you. But you live with it. You have it there. That's your DNA. And so Abraham, like Jonah. Jonah. You know, God handles our humanity better than you and I do. Isn't that wonderful? Oh, even though we might feel like we're not that faithful, he's faithful. There's a woman at the well I could talk about who actually went and touched her whole town for Christ. There's a prostitute who God used. There's Peter, I don't know if anybody here has been called this by God, but God called him Satan. Imagine that. Satan. Get behind me, Satan. Imagine if his mates had heard that. Here comes Satan. God, friends, called him Satan. Get behind me, Satan. You don't know what you're doing. And yet it was just like, he's the apostle of apostles. Like, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, you're like, you've answered well. Good on you. On this rock, I'm going to build my church. And a few verses later, he starts disagreeing with some, you know, he's trying to help Jesus. He's trying to help you. Oh, no, you're not going to the cross. Get behind me, Satan. How does an apostle become a devil? It's amazing. Yeah. It's so easy. It's nice as it goes there. Satan. He denied Christ. Not once, not twice, three times. And God brought him back and restored him totally. The despised, the downtrodden, the forgotten, the lost, the lonely, the sick, the woman with the issue of blood, the no-name woman that we've just talked about, a little boy at a day of a picnic. Imagine that. He has a little lunchbox, and that's the first miracle, to get a lunchbox off a boy. Had three of them. Fish, loaves, and he has, and they're gonna. And Andrew says, "Oh, we've got is some loaves and some fish from a little boy's lunchbox. It would have been about this big." And then he looks at Jesus and he looks at the crowd, around 10,000, because there's 5,000 women plus men. Plus, and they had big families, so there was at least 10,000 to 13,000 people. There's like, you're feeding a stadium with a few loaves and a few fish. Give me a break! And Andrew looks up at Jesus. Oh, we've got a few loaves and a few fish. Oh, yeah. Well, what is that in so many? And Jesus said, "Give them to me." And he multiplies them. And then, as Tony said this morning, there's 12 basketfuls left over. Like, what is that for? Could be for the 12 disciples. They're guys. They're already having a little bite on the way. They didn't need any more. Amen. I just think God had those 12 basketfuls left over. You know why? Because God is a God of abundance. There's fish in the sea that are more colorful than they are on the surface that you and I will probably never, ever see because we never go down that far. There are stars still being created by God that we will never see on this earth. Why is that? Because God is a creative God and God is a God of abundance. And he's bigger than you and I will ever think he is. So who does God use? He uses people like you and I. No excuse. So what about you? He wants to use you. Father, I just thank you for today. Thank you for one another. Thank you for what you want to do. Thank you that we could be in a desperate situation and you're the God who's there. We could be in a situation where we just don't know our supply and yet you want to supply as much as we say yes to. Help us to say yes. And who does God use? Well, he uses people like you and I. He uses people like us. Thank you, Father, that you've created us. Thank you for your goodness and your grace to us. this message has had an impact on you, I just want you to do we're talking about faith, really. I'd like you to stand. If you're saying, yep, I just need to take hold of it. I just agree with it. I'm challenged by it. It inspires me. Help me to remember this. And we're going to pray. Holy Spirit, help us to remember this. For the next month or two or three, just let it get into our being. It's not good just to hear it once, but just to be reminded of it time and time again. Some of these principles, some of these truths. Is that you? I'd like you to just simply stand. Stand because somebody else is standing. Just stand and just take hold of it again. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness and grace. I thank you, Lord, for these folks who are standing particularly. And I ask you in Jesus' name that you would bring this back, Holy Spirit, bring this back to their remembrance in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And Lord, I just pray for this church as they're embarking on an amazing journey of multiplication, have done for many years. But again, I just pray for this church that it would be all that you want it to be. And Lord, you would bring the people in, you would bring the resources in that need to be brought in, so the work of yourself can be done in Jesus' name, not only here, but also overseas. Here and beyond in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we just commit this place to you, Hope Center. Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus, I thank you that it's going to be a place of hope, not only for those who are lost, but also for those who come in and are breathing again and being restored again. Hope's coming to their being again, and that hope is going to be dispensed in this place and beyond in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, our God, for who you are. Amen. Amen. Please take a seat. And if you want prayer for healing, we're going to put some music on, if we might, Jackson. That'll be great. Or Faith, and put some music on. And I'm happy to pray for as many people as are here at the front or whatever. Just come forward, and you're used to that, I know. And so, it's great to be with you. God bless you. Enjoy God and enjoy one another. I think we've got a lunch, haven't we? Fantastic. Free coffee, free tea, free supernatural language leaflet, and a lunch. And what a great church to go to. Amen. Bless you. Amen.